Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Morning already. So we're continuing our series on this so-called Jesus Masterclass. And the title, as we heard at the beginning, is about total commitment, which is kind of a bit daunting. And I did really wonder, what on earth do you say? So I can remember as a young Christian reading lots of biographies about these Christian greats that achieved so many things for God. I remember reading about Hudson Taylor and all that he did. Yeah, I might need that. I remember reading about... Thanks. I remember reading about John Wesley in the late 18th century and how he toured the country on horseback preaching to thousands and thousands and seeing so many people converted. I remember reading about a guy called George Muller who ran orphanages and they had no money and no food and would pray in the morning and food would be delivered in time for breakfast. And I think, how on earth does all of that happen? You know, these people were so committed to what God had called them to do. And they were so persevering. And I thought, I could never do that. Could never be like that. It's such a huge challenge. You know, and actually commitment, if we're honest, is something that people are wary of, right? Aren't we? A lot of us were wary of it. And that's so common. You know, you watch any sports event, if you see a team that's dipping, you'll hear statements around, well, that player isn't as committed as the rest of them. And that's sort of around us. I'm sure we've all had those school reports we can remember. Well, if they were more committed to the subject, then they might do better and things like that. But also choices in society around us. There is so much choice in everything that we do today. You know, just in something simple like going shopping or going to the supermarket. There's so many supermarkets you can choose from. There's so many different things you can choose inside the supermarket. And all of that choice allows us to chop and change and creates a culture that we just go after whatever is convenient for us. Technology is another thing, isn't it? You can write comments on Facebook or Twitter or Threads. If you know, you know. And there's no involvement. There's distance from whoever you're writing to or whatever you're writing about. There's no personal attachment. And that creates, again, a sense of I can just do what I want and chop and change as I feel. And often this means the idea of being committed to things and having commitment is something that finds it hard to make its way into our lives. Commitment isn't sexy, right? It doesn't sell in that sense. Life's circumstances can wear us down, can make us suspicious of being committed to a person or to a thing or to a church even, and be reluctant to commit. We want to be in control. I'm definitely a guy who doesn't like to do things unless I'm sure I'm in control. And the idea of going whitewater rafting meant I had to give that up, totally. That's the last reference to that event today. But I do like to be in control. And actually, if you're going to commit to something for the long term, it often involves saying, I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but I still commit to this. Nowhere is this more true than in our relationships. All of us have been hurt, have been damaged. All of us have experienced broken trust, misunderstandings. And all those things conspire against the idea of again committing ourselves to someone or to something. And it's just as true in churches. The variety and choice of churches that are available today can leave us flitting from one to the next, and just attending on a Sunday can be a spectator sport. And the idea of committing to something for a period of time is something that is, you know, it's hard for us to get our arms around. So how do we deal with this? Do we need to deal with it? Well, I think when we look at the pages of Scripture and we see God's story and we read the Gospel, we very quickly see that commitment is such a key part of the good news of Jesus. That it's a key part of God's engagement with this world in which we live. We see at the very beginning of time, before God created anything, we see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit committed to each other in a great relationship together. We see that God, after he created the world, he fully commits to his plans, so he speaks to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, that he promises to Noah to never flood the earth again, that he calls Moses out, and Moses lives as a shepherd for 40 years, doing not a lot other than looking after sheep, and then he has that burning bush experience, and we see how God commits himself to working and using Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt, and commits to working through 40 years of wilderness traveling to get them to the promised land. We see how God commits to Joshua taking the nation into the promised land. And we see in the rest of the Old Testament how time and again the people of God rebel against him and then repent and then rebel against God and then repent and then rebel against God and then repent. And we see all through that the commitment of a God to his people. And then we see Jesus. Hallelujah. We see Jesus choosing to leave the glory that was his in heaven with the Father and with the Holy Spirit, and choosing instead to come to this earth, to set his face towards the cross, to rescue you and me from the effects of sin, from the reality of hell, and to bring us freedom into our lives. And we see Jesus committed to pouring out his Holy Spirit on his church in the book of Acts, and thereafter down through history through the last 2,000 years. We see Jesus committed to building his church today and making it fit for a returning bridegroom, that one day he will return for a bride that has been made ready. And we see the Father God wrapping up history and bringing a new heaven and a new earth, of a place where there is no more pain, no more sickness, no more death. We see, if anything, through the story of Scripture, we see a God who is committed to his people, to his plans, to his purpose, and to his son Jesus. You know, if you could cut the Bible in half and look through it, we'd see the word commitment written around. So how do we get more of that into our lives? How do we get more of that into the church? How do we get more of that into the world and society around us? Very, very timely that this is the message the day that we choose to launch the Eden team. You know, because one of the ideas as we chatted with the Message Trust is we had to commit to this being at least a 5-year venture. You know, and we had to talk through that and what that meant, not just financially, but what that looked like and for the guys in the team as well, and talk through the implications of that. There is a commitment involved in doing it. And that kind of commitment is a challenge, isn't it? Because most of us, if we're honest, well, we're just preoccupied with the here and now. We're just preoccupied with today's problems today. If I can just get through today, if I can just get through this week, if I can just get through this month, and the idea of thinking through longer term and being committed to something longer term fills us with dread or suspicion or just can't be doing with that. So what has God's word got to say to us to help us try and navigate this and actually bring the same sort of commitment that God is showing towards us, and that lo and behold, he's encouraging us as his followers to try and emulate in the world today? Let me just see if I can get this working. Let's turn it on. Not working at the moment. Oh, thank you. Thanks, Gail. So I've got 4 verses I just want to pull out and just talk about a couple of points. First verse, Romans 5, verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. You see, commitment involves taking action for something that is yet to happen. That's one of the things about commitment. We need to take action for something that is yet to happen. Jesus died on the cross when we were still powerless, when we could do nothing to help ourselves. The Bible describes it that we were lost in our ways, that we were without hope, that we were heading towards an eternity and hell. And Jesus died on that cross to bring about a different future for you and for me. He died on that cross in the hope that you and I would respond to his grace. But that actually didn't happen when he died, right? Not least because we weren't around then. He had to wait 2,000 years for you and I to respond to his message. So when he died on the cross, it was for something that's going to happen in the future, as far as we are concerned. And there is something about commitment that is focused on something in the future. You know, we're doing this today because we believe it will make an impact for good at some point in the future. I can remember many years ago in a previous church, one of the speakers standing up and talking about building church, and that we're not building church for ourselves, we're not building church for our children, we're building the church for our children's children. And I must have been a 20-something at the time, and I'm thinking, oh, I don't really get what he's talking about. But actually, as I thought about that, how radical is that? To think that what we are investing our lives in for Jesus isn't for us, but actually is for something that won't be realized until we've died and gone to be with Jesus, and we won't even be here. How radical is that? Our next door neighbours are building a bit of an extension on their house, and a couple of weeks ago the diggers came and they dug out this huge hole in the ground, and they left loads of mud everywhere like they do and all that kind of stuff. And you know, a huge hole, what's the point of it? Well, at the point the hole is dug, there is no point to it. It's there for something that's going to happen in the future. And lo and behold, a week later, a load of concrete turns up and fills the hole, right? And that's been there now, but that just looks like a nice lump of concrete. What's the point of it? Well, they're hoping that their builders will return with some bricks. And eventually... no comment about builders, eventually get something built there. But they've taken action now for something that will be realized in the future. When you get home, read Hebrews 11 about the so-called heroes of faith, where it lists so many of the guys and girls in the Old Testament and talks about what they did for God. And this great verse at the end, none of them received what was promised. None of them. How about that for a statement to encourage you to become a Christian? Follow Jesus and you won't receive anything that he promises. It will happen after you die. You know, none of them. That's the commitment for something that is future focused. It's easy to be focused on the here and now, especially when everything is pressing in. But I think the commitment God is calling us to requires us to look up and stare into the future. Next slide, please, Gail. Second verse, 1 John 4 verse 10 says this. This is love. No, this is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. Commitment involves pain and sacrifice. For Jesus, the ultimate, dying on that cross in order to bring freedom and grace for you and for me. But for an athlete training to win a gold medal at an Olympic Games, it involves pain and sacrifice as he gets up early to do his training, as he regulates what he eats and can only eat certain things, and when he goes out for a meal with the rest of the family, can't participate in what they're doing. And it requires discipline about how he structures his day. There was a guy in my team at work whose son was quite a good swimmer in about 10 or 11 years old, and he had to get up at 5 a.m. and go to Ponds Forge to practice the swimming. You know, there's pain and sacrifice involved in order to get to wanting to win that race ultimately. For a lot of us, for our grandparents and great-grandparents going over the top in the First World War, there's pain and sacrifice involved in doing that clearly. And in relationships, sacrificing what I want to see happen in this relationship for the greater good and having that conversation. As we follow God, there is pain and sacrifice. We learn to sacrifice what I want as Jesus calls us to his purposes. And as we go out and seek to follow him, there may be accusations against us. Then we may be deceived by people. We may have a sense of being used at times, all of which can cause pain. But that's par for the course. And this is not a prophetic word for the Eden team, but there will be pain and sacrifice in the ensuing years as we go down this road together. And for all of us, as we follow God's plan for our lives, there is the challenge, the sacrifice, because God hasn't called us to a me-centered Christianity. His commitment to his plans and purposes involve a Christianity that brings glory to his son, Jesus, and that involves us daily dying to ourselves. Which is what Jesus said, isn't it? We've got to die to ourselves daily. And it's so insidious the way we flip things around and our focus around following Jesus becomes, will you bless this Lord? Will you bless that Lord? Will you help me with this Lord? Will you help me with that Lord? Instead of turning it around saying, Jesus, what are you calling me to do? How high do you want me to jump, Lord? How fast do you want me to run, Lord? Where do you want me to go, Lord? And we need to learn to flip that around and realize there is that sacrifice, that daily dying to self is key. But this verse also talks about something else very important about commitment. It shows about the commitment that God has, first of all, and that is he is a relational God. And what I mean by that, he wants to know you and me personally. He's not a God at distance. He's a God who draws close to us. We worship a God who is relational and wants us to know him. Commitment is relational. It means engaging with people. And particularly, it means engaging with people who are not like us. Not like you. That's part of the challenge and the fun of following Jesus, that he calls us to walk with people who aren't like us. I remember, again, at work, it always amused me that everybody else at work seemed to have their groups and, you know, birds of a feather flock together. And their friendship groups were people just like them. And I used to think about it, church, wow, it's great that it is so different. Praise God. And we need to expect that and allow God to move us out of our comfort zones, which I'll say a bit in a minute, because it is relational. We're not meant to be private Christians. God is calling us out and into engagement with our friends, with our neighbours, to live and demonstrate the good news of Jesus. And commitment is that God calls us to is not just about you and I relating with him, but relating with those around us, where we live, in the streets, in our homes, etc. Next one, please, Gail. Galatians 4, verse 4, we read this. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. You see, this verse tells us that Jesus left the glory that was his in heaven and the relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and he humbled himself to be born in a stable as we celebrate at Christmas. Born to an unmarried teenage mum, having refugee status, and became as one of us. He's come and identified with us. So he can say he was tempted in every way as you and I are, yet was without sin. He can empathize with everything that you and I face. There is nothing you are going to go through in life that Jesus cannot identify with. So important that we grasp that. The Message describes it at the beginning of the Gospel of John. It says, the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. It's a great picture of God leaving the glory that was his in heaven and coming and moving to live with us. You see, commitment, and this is the point, involves rolling your sleeves up and getting stuck in. Jesus didn't stay in heaven and remotely fix things. It's not that, you know, Father, Son and Holy Spirit were sat around one day with their phones and they brought up the redemption app and they typed in a few names and think, yep, right, they're saved, that's good. No, he rolled up his sleeves and he came down. He left heaven, came down to this earth and humbled himself as a servant and identified with us and became as one of us. He got stuck in with people and the challenges of their lives and brought the good news to them at a place they could relate to. And guess what? He calls every one of us to do the same. Oh, great. We're to take this good news. We're to wrap it up and present it in a way people can understand. But to do that, we have to get off our butts and leave our little world and get stuck in. It means we need to earn the right to speak as well in people's lives and not attempt to ride roughshod over them. It's about leaving our comfort zones. You know, we spend our lives, don't we, building our comfort zones, things that we like, that's our secure place, our safe place, current word, a place of security, a place we're in control of. But as we follow Jesus, he calls us to discard those. A bit like a snake shedding its skin. We're to shed our skin of security and comfort that we love and go to where Jesus is calling us, because the call, the need, is greater and should impel us. And there's loads of opportunities, even here in MCF and around, to get involved and get stuck in. So many things going on. Just have a look at the notice board at the back there. So many opportunities. Next one, please, Gail. Ephesians 1, verse 4 says this. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. So I was going to ask a question, and the question was, when do you think God first knew about you? Right? When did God first know about you? Was it when you were born? What was it? Was it the day you became a Christian? Was it when you were conceived? Without getting too technical. Was it when Jesus died on the cross? Because we read that he died for the glory set before him, bringing many sons to glory. No. This verse tells us that God knew about you and me before he created the world, the universe, and everything we see around us. We need to drink that in, because it's hard to get our heads around. Before the world was even created, God chose you in him. Wow. You know, and then we've gone through, that's before the foundation of the world, before the creation of the world. Then we've gone through all of that creation story. We've gone through the whole of the Old Testament period. We've gone through the whole of the New Testament period. We've gone through 2,000 years of history since then. And we reach 2023, and you and I are here. And guess what? God still knows you. All through that period, he's known about you. All through that period, he's known about me. That is incredible. Right, that is amazing. The longevity of God's commitment to you and to me is beyond belief. Right, and as he calls us, there's a long view we need to have in our commitment to him. What does this look like as we follow Jesus? As God calls us to take a long-term view of things. Well, it means for a start not jacking it in when things get difficult. Yeah, sure, there comes a time when things have to stop or you walk away from a situation, but those occurrences should be the exception and not the rule. Paul reminds us elsewhere in the New Testament that perseverance produces character, character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us. You know, and we carry that hope of Jesus to a world that needs to know about it and understand it. How they choose to respond is their decision, but they need to hear that hope. And we get that hope, Paul tells us, by the character that we have, because we can't be men and women that say one thing and live another. We need to have the character that means what we're talking about has integrity, because people see it in the way that we live our lives, because if they don't, they'll just see right through it. And we get that character, Paul tells us, by learning perseverance. We got to keep going, and we need each other to encourage us and to help us. I needed the guys in the raft yesterday to pull me back in at one point because I'd fallen out. We need each other to help us. We really do. There is a value to the sort of long-term sustained commitment that God calls us to. There's a value to MCF being a church here for 40 plus years. There is a huge value for Jonathan pastoring it for 30 years and the sustained day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out challenge that is. And doing that for 30 years produces a huge amount of value. And there is increasing need for that type of commitment in our very temporary focused society today, because that builds trust. That the impact of standing with people going through difficult times and not just wandering off, the impact of building friendships, of bringing that stability, it flies in the face of always seeking the quick win and trying to do the quick thing and moving on to the next thing at the slightest bump, and the temporary nature of so many things in our world today. But stability in society, stability in the church, stability in our Christianity comes with a long-term view. What are we going to do for Jesus in the next 5 years? All of us, not just the Eden team. What are we going to do for Jesus in the next 10 years? What is he calling us to? What can I commit myself to? You know, we got some of the young people in this morning who are very young by comparison to me. But what are you going to do for Jesus in the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years? You've got a lifetime ahead of you. You've got opportunities to make, to choose for him, and what Jesus can do with you and through you, and the things you could see that we won't see. It's such a privilege you have, you know, to make that decision to follow him today. Just as God committed himself to us before the creation of the world speaks of hope, So we also are bringers of hope in the gospel. And that's not a temporary, here today, gone tomorrow thing. And a key part of that long-term view is the ability to put down roots where we are. Roots in the locality where we live. Roots in a local church that's seeking to work this out. A tree grows to be so big and robust and withstand the storms that come against it because it's put roots down deep into the ground. So there's five things there I mentioned about commitment, just taking from those verses. But commitment involves taking action for something yet to happen. Commitment involves pain and sacrifice. Commitment is relational and engaging with people. Commitment means rolling your sleeves up and getting stuck in. And finally, it means having that long-term view. If I could just have the last slide, Gail, please. Thank you. So just to conclude, I want to finish this by, you know, life's hard, right? It is. I'm not in any way, shape, or form suggesting this is easy. It's a challenge, but it's a challenge that God has called us to. And the question is, will we rise to it? And one of the things that really helps is this verse, right? You may know it in a slightly different version. But how do we remain committed to what God is calling us to do, both as an individual and as a church and in the society where we live and as an Eden team and et cetera? So how do we remain committed? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. And now he's seated in the place of honor besides God's throne. This example of Jesus is what we keep our eyes fixed on. The commitment he showed in order to achieve the hope set before him is the example that we need to get a hold of and follow. Let us consider him and therefore not lose heart. As he calls us to commit ourselves to following him and taking us where he leads. You know, for MCF, that is a commitment to working out the gospel in Jordanthorpe and Batemore for the decades to come. That's what it means. And that's not that is quite a grandiose statement, but it's more than a grandiose statement, right? Because behind that needs working out in the day-to-day. It means overcoming the challenges and the difficulties that we'll all face. It means bucket loads of forgiveness between all of us needs to be expressed. It means treating each other with grace and not with judgment. It means working through the differences of opinions that we may have and the disagreements that we may have and working through those. It means taking God's word seriously as the yardstick that we hold ourselves accountable to, but also recognize we don't have a monopoly on the truth. It means taking the knockbacks and sometimes rolling with the punches that will come our way. It means letting others speak into our lives and being willing to change. It means stepping out of the comfortable and into the call of God, whatever wild and exciting place that takes us to. Why? Why? Because he has called you and me to a higher purpose than just this life. Because the God who created this world has called you and I by name. Because he is building his church, and one day Jesus will return for his bride. And because the gospel of Jesus is the only hope of the world and of this society. It's a marathon, not a 100-yard dash. Amen.